We're now welcoming the call, the head coach of the Richmond Spiders, Danny Rocco. Good morning, Coach Rocco.
Hey, good morning, Rob.
Good morning. Quite a game for you guys on Saturday, a back-and-forth affair that you guys come out on top, 31-28 against Towson. Give me your breakdown of that victory.
Well, it was a really good football game. It was very exciting. It was certainly back-and-forth. I thought both teams were able to establish some real momentum in the game. And then both teams, you know, had a will to win and a will to finish. I mean, there was no quit on either sideline. I thought Rob had his guys, you know, very much ready to play. Had a little chip on their shoulder. They played extremely hard, extremely physical. I think our execution, you know, when the game was on the line was good. And we were probably a little better in the biggest moments at the end, you know. But other than that, it was a true street fight in a 60-minute football game. He's got a really good football team, and I'm certain they're going to win their fair share of games here this year. I was proud of the way our defense finished. It wasn't a real good game for us defensively. But as you got into the fourth quarter, we didn't yield any points in the fourth quarter. Then offensively, we, you know, had 418 yards, pretty explosive. We still have to do a better job of protecting the football and finishing drives. So, you know, all in all, just really happy to get the win.
Kind of a milestone victory for your team, win your 10th straight game at home, setting a school record, which is quite an accomplishment. Talk about getting to that mark.
Yeah, Rob, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's I thought it was really meaningful, you know, for our student athletes and for our staff. You know, we have a group of fifth-year seniors that came in here with me, and when I recruited that group, the season, their senior year of high school, Richmond was 0-8 in the CAA, did not win a conference game. So that group of fifth-year seniors that I have really brought this program back, and we got, you know, a long ways to go, but they did bring it back, and to be able to break a school record for most consecutive home victories, I thought was very significant and of great value to our student athletes and to our fan base. So I was really excited about that, and you know, I wasn't surprised that it went down to the very end.
We're here with Richmond head coach Danny Rocco. If you have a question for Coach Rocco, just hit *1, and we've got a couple in queue. If you'll get those for us, Pasha.
Your first question is from the line of John O'Connor with the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
Coach, based on the trip to Stony Brook, do you change anything as you go to Albany this week in terms of travel plans or routine?
John, we always evaluate that. I mean, you know, there's a lot of factors that are variables that are different, like the kick time is different. The kick time at Stony Brook was noon. The kick time here is 3:30. So that's a significant factor to weigh in. Field availability. I don't have access to the field up there at Albany in any timely manner where when my plane arrives, I don't have access to the field. Right, so the thought of doing the walkthrough at their stadium then is out of my hands. So two of the biggest variables right there are you going to go to the stadium and do your walkthrough? And, you know, what's the kickoff time? They're both uniquely different. So maybe I'm not answering your question, but, you know, I've been through the itinerary several times. And, you know, I do think that at Stony Brook, other than the fact that we got our butts kicked, we were on a tight window when we got there. It was a noon kick. We didn't get there as early as we were supposed to get there. And I will make sure I get my team into the locker room well in advance of the 2.5 hours prior to the kick.
Hey, can you update us on David Jones? He didn't play after he went out with that. Looked like a left arm injury early.
Yeah, he had a significant injury a year ago, as you know, and had a fracture to that forearm, and we are in the moment waiting on the results of a variety of different MRIs and x-rays.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Your next question comes from the line of Mark Stingley with Albany Times Union.
Danny, you get to play a team coming off a bye for the second straight week. What kind of challenge does that present when they're rested and they've had a few extra days to prepare for you?
Yeah, I think there is an element there that's significant. I don't think it's definitive, but I do think it's significant that, especially when you're at home, I think sometimes I'd much rather be the home team. If the other team has a bye but has to travel to my place, I still feel like I have that intangible advantage. To have the bye and be at home, I think that intangible may swing a little bit. But, you know, Greg talked about it earlier. I talk about it all the time. I mean, our focus is, you know, a lot more on ourselves than on our opponent in terms of what we need to do and what we need to do better. So I think that we'll see how it plays out when we get up there. I did adjust a couple of things. Anytime I'm playing a team that's coming off a bye, I adjust my weekly schedule just a bit to make an effort to introduce that team a little earlier in the week than my normal schedule would allow me to do. So I did that prior to Towson's visit, and I did that here this week prior to our travel to Albany.
And just a follow-up, I mean, you faced Nevin Sussman last year. It was his first career start for a freshman. You picked him off four times. What have you seen from him going from one year to?
Yeah, well, it doesn't even look like the same guy. So, I mean, I kind of had to keep asking my defensive staff, I mean, is this the same guy? Is this the same guy? He's got the same number on. Is this the same guy? So I just see a lot of development in their program. I think Coach Gattuso knows what he wants to do. He's got a real clear vision of how he wants his team to look and how he wants his team to play. And you just see the team evolving and growing. You know, the thing that we all deal with, it's so hard to get it all right in one year. You know, he's got great experience in some areas of his team, and then he's got significant inexperience in other areas of his team. You know, so that's kind of the difficult thing to really work through, is to be able to, you know, have all elements, all phases of your team performing at a veteran, mature level. So I see great development there in the quarterback and with that young receiving core, and then obviously I think the tailback is exceptional.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Danny, the winning score on Saturday comes on a fake field goal play, and as a coach, I know you, I'm sure you got many of those plays that you work on week in and week out, use them for a while, but what goes into the process, the thought process of when you decide to use them, and can you talk about that play in general?
Well, we've been kind of running it for 4 years, and I've never called it. But it probably was, you know, designed for the exact moment that we used it. We had a third and short, you know, down in the low red inside the four. We could have got a first down if we got to the one, so we ended up with a fourth and one, you know, at the two. That's about the right place to do it. We usually practice it in that type of situation, a fourth and one or two, you know, in the low red. But when it's all said and done, you know, other than the window dressing of the field goal formation and the kicker being in the game, it really is just one of our base offensive run plays with David Broadus, who is our Wildcat quarterback and our backup quarterback, and does some jobs as a halfback. So there's a lot of peace of mind in running the play. The play is really an offensive play. It's not really a trick play. The trick or the gimmick behind it is just the fact that the kicker's in the game and there is this thought that this is going to be a field goal, and it does trigger some different responses from the defensive side of the ball.
Last week we talked about Xavier Goodall and his first start going over 100, and he does it again on Saturday, 23 carries, 128 yards, and just looked running the ball with an awful lot of confidence. Did you see the same thing, and were you surprised that he gets back-to-back 100-yard games, and how does he continue to progress week to week?
Yeah, well, he's a really neat young man. He's a very highly motivated young man, and he's very talented. You know, it's like, you know, in some sports, and some guys are just natural at doing certain things, you know, and this is a kid that's just very natural at running the ball. He's instinctive. He sees it. He sets things up. He finds the crease. He's got great vision, great feet, and balance, you know. And we see kids like that sometimes that, you know, are able to come in early in their career and play beyond their years, you know, because they're so instinctive at what they do. And you have other guys that might have more talent, and I'm not saying that really about Xavier, but you have other guys that, you know, might have more talent, might have more size, might have more things going for them, but they're just not as natural at playing the position. And that's one thing about the running back position, you know, as far as being a ball carrier. You know, some guys are just blessed to do that, and he is blessed to do that. Now, pass protections and, you know, pass concepts and, you know, things like that, you know, he's working really hard to get them right. But I'm really excited and really proud of what he's been able to do, and our O-line has certainly rallied to give him some creases to get the ball up into.
Before I let you go, just want to touch a little more on the defense. As you said, came up big in the fourth quarter with a couple of fourth down stops and not allowing any points. And the leader of that appeared to be Omar Howard, 10 tackles and 3 for loss. Talk about his effort Saturday, especially with David Jones out of the game.
Yeah, I thought he had his best game of the year, and we were really excited about his production. And then his leadership was really good. Thought Winston Craig leadership was really good. Winston, I think, had 18 special teams plays in the game, and I don't remember how many defensive plays, but, you know, pretty much the whole game. And on that last drive, when our defense was out there, I thought our D-line was playing as hard and as well as they had played the whole game, which is pretty telling of a number of things. One is their commitment level. I think their fitness and conditioning. And, you know, and then they're just passionate to get a win. So, and Omar's a big, big part of that front seven in terms of his ability and his leadership.
All right, Danny, thanks as always for your time this morning, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks a lot, Rob. Bye-bye.
Thank you.